The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening to or watching this Premier League on NBC podcast. Rebecca Lowe with you alongside myself today. Robbie Musto, Carl Martino, Lee Dixon, Arlo White, Robbie Earl, and Graham Lasso from their homes across the United States and the United Kingdom. If you're new to this podcast, we've only been going a few weeks really, because this is our chance during the pandemic to basically chew the cud. I don't know if you say that in America, but that's what we say in the US. Kyle's saying, no, you don't. That means basically have a chin wag. Probably also something. But no. Have a good old-fashioned...
Good start.
Have a good old-fashioned chat.
A great start.
About football, or days gone by, or how we're feeling, or today...
Or Graham's backyard.
What?
Or Graham's backyard.
Oh, Graham's backyard, or Graham's terrible internet. Graham's backyard is amazing. If everyone is only listening to this one day, try and watch this on the NBC Sports YouTube channel, if only to see the meadow behind Graham.
He lives on the 12th fairway at Augusta, Bex. It's ridiculous.
That is actually where the Rearrange Masters is going to be played, I think. So today we're going to try and get to know each other a little bit better. Before we get on to that, chaps, I've just got to let everybody know, because this is some really good news, that free access to the Premier League Pass on NBC Sports Gold has been extended through until May the 31st. Now, if you have never been on Gold, go on it, because it's got so much to offer. There are on-demand games, documentaries, loads of content from us and from our friends over at Sky Sports as well. And it's all available right now for no cost at all. To start streaming, just go to nbcsports.com/free. Free being the operative word. Right, gentlemen. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about this game. Now, I think this is a Carl Martino idea, this game. So we're going to give him some credit, but only if it goes well. So this is called Interesting Facts About the Premier League on NBC Team. Earlier on this week, our production crew asked all of us to send three interesting facts to our producer, Jorge, me included. And then I've been emailed, quick look, all the interesting facts, all jumbled up. I don't know who any of them are, except, of course, my three. And I'm going to go through, ping out an interesting fact, go round everybody and find out who you think that fact belongs to. And then when everyone's given their reason why they think that fact belongs to somebody, the real person whose fact that belongs to can say, it was me, and I'll ask who was it, and then you can just fill us in on exactly a bit more to the story. So, guys,
you're included, right? You're included. So the
I'm included.
Are you?
Yeah. So exactly, I could read out my own facts.
Are going to be incredible during.
Let's not delay any further, because let me tell you, the first one is a goodie. Okay. Number one fact. Who is this about? I finished second in a Shirley Temple competition at Butlins, which is a holiday camp, at the age of 7. Okay. Second in a Shirley Temple competition at Butlins, age 7. Let's go round. Lee Dixon, who do you think it was?
Oh, Shirley Temple. That's got to be somebody old. So, Robbie Musto looks old. So, I'm.
You're the oldest.
I think I can see Robbie Musto, little Shirley Temple.
Wow. Here we
go.
Arlo.
I'm going Robbie Musto.
Okay.
Is it a Shirley Temple drinking competition or a Shirley Temple...
Age seven.
It's Butlins as well, so it's got to be England. Graham Lasso, all over.
Okay. Arlo. Not Arlo, sorry. Kyle Butlins, just so you know, is a very, very family-run, family-style holiday camp, sort of across, I don't know if it's a franchise, but it's a chain across the UK, okay? Where everyone goes, it's a staycation, basically. It's okay. Super fun.
So, in other words, you can rule me out. I actually finished third. So, the obvious guess from me, knowing your incredible thespian past, Rebecca Lowe would be, but I'm not going to go you. I'm going to go Arlo White because he already has the hair for it.
Okay. Robbie Earl, who do you think it is?
I think there's a bit of bluff going on from Lee Dixon. He talked about Lee Dixon at Butlins. I think Lee Dixon flew at, I'm going Lee Dixon.
Lee Dixon. Okay, Graham Lasso, who is it?
Oh, I think I'm going to go for Lee as well, because he mentioned the fact that it was somebody old, and therefore he would be...
he's really old.
He's definitely in the right ballpark.
Watch it.
Got nice
I've
legs,
seen him dress up a little bit as well in the past, but we shouldn't be talking about that on a you know, NBC product. So we'll leave that alone. But I'm going to go Lee Dixon as well.
All right, Robbie Musto, who are you going for?
I'm going to go Arlo. I just think Arlo, long time ago, he's up for anything. Dress up as a little girl, perfect.
I'm going to go for Graham. I think Graham's going to be a really bad liar on this. And I think Graham is going to be like, all kind of like, oh, I mean, let me just have a think for a second. Who could that possibly be? I think this is Graham. So, will the real Shirley Temple please stand up?
Oh, no. Wow. That was when I started to say that second was first loser. I was 7 years of age. And the person who won it, some other young boy won it. Because there's only three people entered the competition. They were all... And I came second. So
was there actually a little girl in the competition? Or was it three dudes?
No, three lads entered, and I came second. So,
if there is a photo,
so not only were you,
I'm just crossing that Butlins off my vacation list in the future.
Elton John won it. Young Elton John won it, though.
Well, I cannot tell you how disappointed I was. I was absolutely.
I can't believe you didn't go again.
No, I never went to Butlins ever again. Ever.
The other way of looking at it, Lee, the other way of looking at it is you only finished one place off last.
Exactly. Thanks for that, Graham.
Okay, boys. Wow. On to the next. Love that. Just love that. Lee Shirley.
Wow.
Okay. Next
Good
one.
Start.
I was once invited to a NASA rocket launch by one of the astronauts who is a Manchester City fan. Kyle, who do you think that is?
Well, in the studio, there's one person who swears he could have had many different careers. He could have been a professional pianist. He could have been a scientist. He could be a draft artist. Really anything that he wanted to be. And I do think one point he threw out astronaut. So I think it's Roger.
Okay, Kyle thinks it's Robbie Musto. Okay, who do you think it is, Lee?
I've got... I randomly think I know this story, but it's all a bit confusing.
Why, yours?
I'm going. I know Graham had something to do with something over in NASA, but I'm going to go for Arlo. I think the Man City connect. I'm sure he mentioned it to me about Man City rocket connection, NASA. That's all I've got. So I'm going for Arlo.
It was Aguero's right foot I was referring to there.
All right, so if Lee's going for Arlo, Arlo, who are you going for?
Well, I know for a fact that both Lee and Graham have NASA connections, and they've both been to some sort of rocket facility in California. And now you're not going to read out two of Lee straight away off the bat.
That was
so by powers of deduction, it is the well-connected Graham Lasso, without a shadow of a doubt.
I'll see who do you think it is.
I agree. I just think Graham, smart guy, interested in random stuff, right up his street. I can see his little face. He's can't help himself. He's chuckling over there. Graham Lasso, all day long.
Musty's reasoning is one of my favourite things so far. So everyone seems to think it's you. Is it you? Who is it?
What are we doing now?
Well,
no, not yet, not yet. Who does Graham think it is?
It's not the reveal now.
Who does Graham think it?
I seem to think it would be from one of his many trips to the States. I think it's a bit of a curveball It was thrown in to make us presume it was someone who lived in the US. Mm-hmm. I think on one of his many trips to the United States of America, Mr. Arlo White would have befriended somebody and it would have gone something like, oh, do you recognize me? No, I just happened to look at you as I was walking past you. No, but do you not recognize me as the lead football commentator for NBC? Yes, oh, actually, I do. Now that you've spoken, I do. And then they got into a conversation and became good friends over a light lunch.
You want to see a spaceship? I mean, is that the next
That was the line. That was the
line.
Do
you want to fly in my rocket? Now, the reason I seem to remember this is that I've got a feeling he might have mentioned it. And I then tried to get hold of said astronaut and tried to get him on the Mars mission because that's one way.
Love it, Graham. All right, so you're going Arlo. All right, Robbie Earl, who do you think it is?
I'm between Arlo White and Graham Lasso. Robbie Musto would love to be involved in that kind of environment, but just not bright enough. I mean, sat next to him.
What are you talking about, flipping Einstein down there?
Graham, it feels a bit more Graham Lasso to me. And
yeah, of course it does. That,
NASA had not heard the Graham Lasso joke book yet, I think that would be a prime innocent target.
I think that's
them halfway to Mars, wouldn't it? The in the bag story that he tells all that, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it's Robbie Earl because one, he's got a load of planets on the wall behind him, so he's giving us a little clue, and two, because Robbie Earl knows everybody. Everyone. So if there's anyone that Robbie Earl knows, it's a friggin' NASA astronaut. Earl knows everyone.
He knows someone in space right now.
Right now he knows somebody on the moon. So, Robbie Earl, I'd say it's you. Who is it, gentlemen? Who is it that was invited to a rocket launch by NASA who's a Man City fan astronaut?
That was me. Oh! And I did tell you, Lee, yeah, it's Doug Hurley, who is he's going to be taking off hopefully in late May on the joint NASA SpaceX mission. This is going to be a practice mission to dock with the International Space Station. In the whole program, it's eventually, I think, going to put people on the moon again. So Doug got in touch after I'd been to the Kennedy Space Center last summer and just told me the whole story about him being a massive Man City fan. And he came to a game last season as well. So good luck to Doug. And it looks like he can't be there.
Arlo, he made some entrance, didn't he, when he arrived at Man City? Do you remember?
One of those lunar modules onto the ESS. Very dramatic, yeah.
All right, boys, brilliant, love this. Okay, next one. Don't think this is me. Finished sixth in the British schoolboys Olympic weightlifting competition. And the best thing about this, Kyle, I know who this is. The best thing about this is that we've actually got the class. The 57... kilogram class. Who finished in the British schoolboys Olympic weightlifting competition, 56 kilogram class? Robbie Earl, who was that?
56 kilogram. This preciseness of the weight and the detail in the conversation has to be Robbie Musto. Has to be, without doubt, Clean and Jerk Musto, as he was named.
Clean and Jerk! Came up.
Isn't that clean?
I mean, listen, this is 1,000,000% Robbie Musto. The sixth place finish was a giveaway. also, I watched him as you were reading this. And typically when you read the questions, he's not having any fun. He's just listening. But when you were reading that question, he was dying inside and just laughing, remembering that he really believes he should have gotten into the top three, but he just couldn't get
not
it.
Me.
Just couldn't.
Oh, no, he just couldn't quite. Graham Lasso, who do you think it is?
Yeah, I'm going to go Robbie Musto as well. I just think the level of detail, but yeah, not detail that builds him up. It actually is demeaning. The fact he finished sixth, yeah, it's good self-deprecation. I'm going to go full Musto on this one.
I mean, to be fair, whoever this is, Lee Dixon, I mean, British schoolboys Olympic weightlifting competition. You know, fair dues. You know, Lee, is it you? Who do you think it is?
It's definitely impressive. I think as soon as you started talking about weightlifting, I looked to the top left, Robbie Musto.
All right, let's bloody finish this one.
Guns out, guns out.
Everyone gets a point.
What about two parts? Two parts to it. Clean and jerk. And then this one, it's an unfortunate name. It's called the snatch. Snatch and clean and jerk.
No wonder
you've been a terrible time. Okay, for those of you listening, the person who won, or should I say finished sixth, in the British Schoolboys Olympic weightlifting competition, 56 kilogram class was Emma Musley. Robbie Musley.
For
those who are listening to the podcast and not watching, you really should be glad you didn't have to see it.
Like, great technique there.
All right, guys, next one. This is interesting because this is obviously going to narrow it down. So this is not obviously going to be Arlo or I, unless there's something I don't know. Was late for a game once and stopped by the police for speeding. One policeman was a fan of my club and the other policeman was a fan of our rival club. I had my club tracksuit on. One policeman wanted to let me off with a warning as he was also going to the game. The other, a more senior officer, didn't want to, so he gave me a ticket and made me late. So, Arlo, I'll come to you first. Out of our five professional ex-footballers, who do you think it was?
So, I think it's a London-based player. You're more likely to have two policemen in the same car who support different teams. I can see a little smirk on Earl's face here. I'm just wondering if he was maybe south of the river on his way to Selhurst Park, or maybe, yeah, it could be a Palace fan and a Wimbledon fan in the police car. It could have been Graham with a Chelsea fan. It could have been either of those three, but I'm going to plump for Robbie Earl on this one. He's got his poker face on.
Okay. Musty, who do you think it was?
It's not Robbie Earl. He's the slowest driver I've ever seen. No offence, Rob. No offence.
Never late, Musty. Never late, mate. Never in a rush.
He's never late. He's a very careful, slow, steady driver. It can't be Robbie Earl. I agree. It's got to be a London thing, hasn't it? I mean, what in City with Kyle in the US? I mean, LA? No, I just think it's got to be London. Who's going to be more likely to speed? Leo Graham. I don't think Graham's a speeder. I think it's Lee Dixon. A little bit late, not professional. I mean, I know he talks about always wanting to be on time.
You're the exact opposite.
I think Lee Dixon.
Okay.
This was a lesson that he learned.
Okay. Graham, who do you think it is?
Lee says he's never late. And historically, he's always been quite tough on people that are late. But it was only last week that he was late for our Zoom call, if you remember. So, I mean, I think it's a bit of a facade to think that he actually is good at keeping time. Also, I don't know, the only thing that contradicts me with Lee is the fact that he doesn't like to spend too much money. So he'd probably be driving at the required 56 miles an hour to get maximum efficiency out of his car. So would he speed? I don't know. I'm gonna go Robbie Earl here. I just think he just got caught a little bit late, put his foot down, didn't think no one would notice in South London, but there was the police car just waiting on a blind corner to pull him over. And as Arlo says, I think it was probably a Palace fan that gave him the ticket.
All right, Kyle, who do you think it is?
I think it was GLS. I think he had a joke that he wanted to tell and knew that he would need a half an hour before everyone started to get into their routine to tell it. So he had to hurry up and get over to the facility so he could begin the half an hour long joke that he was going to tell them.
Okay, I think finally, am I right? Dicko, you're the last one to tell us who you think that is then? Everyone thinks it's you. A lot of people think it's you.
I'm a bit stumped on this. I would definitely not go for Arlo anyway because he didn't play, but also he's driving Miss Daisy, so he literally not allowed. Robbie Musto, nobody cares where he played in Middlesbrough, whether he's speeding or not, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, nice, nice respect, nice, nice.
Robbie Earle's a sneaky one, because he would, you would expect it not to be him, which is why I'm going for Robbie Earle. I'm going definitely south of the river.
Yeah, that's interesting, Matt. I think I'm with Musty. I've witnessed a Robbie Earle drive, and I am with Musty on that. I don't think it's Robbie Earle. I just don't think he's ever, I would like to ask him if he's ever been stopped for speeding. I'm going to go with Lee Dixon purely. I just think a Spurs Arsenal policeman double is what's going to be the one here. So, who got stopped for speeding and was made late by one of the policemen?
That'll be me.
Robbie Earle, have you ever been stopped for speeding?
No, not speeding at that. Isn't me, Rebecca Lowe, as you very well know. And often I'll have a mate driving. I can't deal with driving either.
So that's me. I end up blimmin' driving them everywhere to the studio.
we got so bad. You got arrested for Wimbledon. That was about the sum total of the police.
Brilliant. Okay, so Lee Dixon, tell us a bit about that moment then, please.
Well, it was exactly what it said in the tin. It was stopped at Stratford Services on the M1, late, which is, I'm never late, whatever Graham says. I'm always waiting for him at hotels. He's always late by a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Anyway, that's another quiz show. first policeman got out was a Tottenham fan and just looked at me and he went, oh, here we go, have a bit of fun here. And then the other guy got out and he went, all right, Dicko. And I went, all right, mate. And he said, oh, I'm going to the game, I'm off in an hour. So I said, oh, well, give us a lift then, because it looks like your mate's going to book me. He went, no, it's all right, I'll have a word with him. And he was a senior officer and he just went, if I let him off, I'll let everybody off. And he booked me, kept me for 20 minutes. And then I got fined by George Graham for being late as well. So I had a double whammy fine.
Faithful. That's brilliant. Okay, on to the next, chaps. This has been written like this. Has a metal plate embedding in his or her head?
Head?
Head. Has a metal plate in his or her head. Kyle, who's that?
Robbie Musto's the obvious one, isn't it?
Obvious.
What?
I feel like one of the reasons that none of Earl's technology ever works is because the signal just gets blocked out. All right, can't hear you. I think Earl's got a big massive plate somewhere in that incredible noggin of his.
Big metal head Earl. Graham Masseau, who's got a metal plate in their head?
Yeah, Robbie Earle. I mean, it would have been a badge of honour at Wimbledon, wouldn't it? It would have been like, I'll just put a plate in my head and then I can be like the rest of them.
That's tough. A great shot.
So yeah, Robbie Earle.
That's a great shout. Dicko, who for you?
I also, on signing a Wimbledon contract, you've got a metal plate signing on fee. You screwed it in wherever you wanted to, and he decided to put it in his head. But I'm not going for the obvious one. I'm going for you, Rebecca, and I don't know why.
Great you, okay.
Okay, Earl, who do you think's got a metal plate in their head?
The person with a metal plate in their head is going to be somebody who is going to be slightly challenged in their thoughts in the way they converse. It has to be Robbie Musto.
Oh. Who do you think has got a metal plate?
Partner. Thanks, partner.
Musty, who do you think?
Well, we have a friend. His name's Carl Martino, and he's the most accident-prone man on Earth. Now, there's some guy as a kid that fell off a seesaw or fell off a ladder or something, or a climbing frame. It's Kyle Martino. We've not had him yet. I'm saying Kyle.
Okay. Arlo?
Kyle's a good shout. I think if the metal plate is in his head, it has recently turned his hair blonde, which is interesting. Bex, I think you are. Oh, magnificent. Some would say, Ginger, not sure. Bex... I think you're getting away with this here. I don't know whether it was kind of an accident, you might have banged your head when you were younger, but as a Palace fan, you have this aversion towards silverware. So maybe that's the closest you'll ever get.
Oh, that's so harsh. That's good, but that's so harsh. That is so harsh. I think if it's Kyle, we would totally all know about that by now, by the way. So there's no way. And in a moment, I am going to get Robbie Musso to tell a very quick side story about Kyle. I think I'm going to little Robbie L's face, look at his face. Robbie L also is one of those people that would never tell you stuff like that, ever. And like you'd find it out like after knowing him forever. So I'm going to go, Robbie L got a big old metal plate. Who has got a metal plate in their noggin? Robbie Musto. Tell us how come.
Well, I went for a challenge with Richard Ord, a big meathead of a centre-half at Sunderland. Ball's bouncing. I'm running in from one side. He's coming in from the other side. I reach forward. I head the ball. He comes in and smashes the side of my face here. I've got a depressed fracture of the cheekbone, cracked eye socket.
Yeah, it's mangled.
And the only... I used to look like David Beckham. We must have a face that smashed it. So... And part of the repair, because my this cheekbone was depressed, fracture wouldn't come back. So I've got this metal titanium plate here to hold the side of my face together. Boom.
Wow. How surprised.
By the way, I played on in the game. Did it before half time. And I looked at myself in the mirror. My eye is swollen like a boxer's. I look weird. And I say to the doc says to me, are you okay? I says, yeah, I feel all right. Can you see? He said. I said, well, yeah, just about. He said, oh, on you go. So when I went back out there and played and we beat Sunderland 1-0. And then before the next game, the result, the x-ray came through and he said, no, Musto can't play. I was pulled out right at the last minute before going to Ayrton Park, because if you had another knock on it, then your eye would not be in good shape. So nice doctors. Thank you.
Musto, that's amazing. Musto, just before we move on to the next one, you talked about Kyle being accident prone. Would you think it's time to share with our viewers and our listeners about the evening that you and Kyle spent in Stamford Connecticut after work one day, where, to be quite honest, we're all still staggered that Kyle's even on this call?
Okay, so it's raining. We finished a show, Kyle. I think we were both in the hotel and we were going for dinner, a restaurant over the it's this busy intersection. Again, raining, it's kind of like, not dark, but it's starting to get a little bit dark. I see the light, it's flashing green, we can go. So we start running. Now, this is a very busy intersection. It's one of them where in America you can turn left and right sometimes when you don't expect them to from the UK perspective. So we run, and as we run, I look out the side of my eye and I see a car swinging around. Of course, Kyle, very limited vision when he was a player, and he ran. He didn't see the car. So I pull up really quickly. Kyle continues to run. The car comes around. I mean, it's raining. I don't think he saw him at all. The car hits Kyle. Kyle rolls onto the front of the car, the bonnet, flips around and lands on his feet on the other side of the road on the curb side. The driver stops. I'm like, oh my God. And surprisingly, he was okay. He was absolutely fine. But he did a little 360, a little turn, landed on his feet and then brushed himself off. And I think we got into the restaurant. We had a bit of a go with the guy who was driving the car. And we got in the restaurant.
It was Lee Dixon.
Yeah. and we ran to the restaurant and we laughed, Carl. We laughed, didn't we? For like 2 minutes flat. We just started laughing about what happened. So, one, he didn't see the car. And two, he stayed on his feet and he wasn't smashed up. Amazing.
Might not see the field well, but can ride a challenge, boy. And I remember Musto went up. I was standing there just making sure everything was still there. And Musto went up to the car and knocked on the window. They rolled the window down. And then they just took off. And we didn't speak. We just walked across the street and we sat down. And then we looked at each other and just started dying laughing and couldn't stop laughing for the rest of the dinner.
And just so the viewers and listeners know, that's just one of quite a number of Kyle's stories. The next morning, on the Sunday morning, they both came in and we're in the makeup room and Robbie went, Kyle got run over by a car last night. And Kyle's sitting there and I'm like, what? But as the years have gone by, statements like that about Kyle, it's just water off a duck's back. You're like, all right, did he? It's just the way things are now. It's just the way things are. Okay, on to the next one. I once took a week-long sailing course at the age of 9 and was so bad that at the end of the week, when everyone went to get their certificates, I was handed a Snickers bar. Who did that happen to? Anna White.
Sailing, it's so Lasso, isn't it? I mean, could it get 9 years old, little jersey, surrounded by water, hasn't changed, where his dramatically middle-class tendencies began. But funnily enough, I don't think it is Graham. I think this is a bit of a curveball. Kyle, growing up in Connecticut, there's a little bit of water there, a few lakes around, perhaps it's Kyle. But I'm actually, Bex, for the second straight answer, I'm going to go to you. Little Bex, little Captain Bex, there on the boat. And yeah. And it's like that advert, isn't it? You're not the same until you've had your Snickers bar in the morning.
Robbie L, who do you think led?
Well, certainly where I lived, there was no lakes and boats, I'll tell you, in my council estate. So you can definitely rule me out. I agree with all of this. There's a lot of Graham Lasso about going sailing, isn't there? You can see the look, you can see the conversation, you can see the pink rosé on ice. There's a wannabe sailor in Robbie Musto, so...
Yeah, I qualified. I got this certification.
I think I'm going to go GLS, Graham Lasso.
Okay. Dicko, who do you think it is?
All day long, GLS, not even a question. The fact that it's sailing, he wants to be a sailor now, but he failed when he was a kid. He's failed again, so he bought a speedboat because he didn't have to sail. Absolutely, GLS, 1,000%.
GLS, who do you think it is?
Oh, I'm going to have to defend myself for 10 minutes, I think. Well, I think, yeah, it could be Kyle. I think he would have been exposed to, you know, to the local yacht clubs as a young boy to go and, you know, meet and socialise with people, climb up the social ladder. But not more than you, Bex. I think it's you. I think your parents thought, you know what, this is good enough for our daughter. Get her on a sailing course. Get her into the local yacht club and her life will be made. So I reckon it was you, and I reckon you were so angry at not getting a certificate, you probably launched the Snickers bar at someone.
Must be.
Oh, she wouldn't do that. She's got a sweet tooth. She'd love that. She'd love a Snickers bar. And that's why she deliberately lost the competition to get the Snickers bar. We're in the studio like for millions of hours every week. I think I remember Rebecca saying something about sailing. So I'm going Rebecca as well.
Hey, Mark.
I mean, I've never been more confident since we started this game that this is this person. This is 1,000,000% Rebecca Lowe. The sweet tooth thing is a real problem. Honestly, they had nothing for that place, but they knew because she has such a sweet tooth problem, she's going to cry. If we don't get her sweet, and so I was like, I got a Snickers bar in my purse. So it's like half melted, but give it to her anyway. Love it. Also, she can't steer anything. She crashed an NBC rental car and didn't even realize it. And they found out like weeks later. They said, Did you happen to crash an NBC rental car? And she was like, not me. And I think it was like a camera of her like backing into another car or something. Terrible driver. Terrible.
Okay, just to clear that up, crashing is a massive exaggeration. I just very slightly grazed the curb. Very slightly didn't realize it. There was something underhanging. Anyway, okay. So the person who was so bad at saying they got stickers for instead of a certificate, please stand up.
100%.
It was me. I went to a sailing course when I was 9 because my friend was doing it in half term. It's incredibly middle class. And after, it was a 5-day course, and after 3 days I cried at home and said I just hated being out of control, surprisingly enough. And I kept getting whacked in the head by the boom thing, and the whole thing was a disaster. And my dad said, you do not give up. I'm like, oh, I really need to give up. You are not giving up. You are finishing this course. And I was like, oh. So I finished the course, but I just mailed it in the last 2 days. I was absolutely terrified of going out on the water. And it got to the final day, and all the parents were there. We were all packed into this room. And it was like, it was called the topper course, I think, which is like the very first sailing qualification. And I was thinking, how am I even going to get, like, I haven't even done anything. I've just played rounders and got put dressed in a wetsuit. Like, that was all I did, and drink hot chocolate. Sweet tooth. And they said at the beginning, like, just before we get to the certificates, we just want to give a round of applause to one of our classmates, Rebecca Lowe. And I was like, is this something extra special for me? I went up on stage and just gave me a Snickers bar. And I did not even like Snickers. I'm like, could I have got a Mars bar? I mean, the whole thing was a disaster. And I have to say, I still berate my dad about it now. I still feel quite hurt at the failure that's on my resume after that. That was an absolute, I was devastated. Okay, next one, you guys. By the way, just a quick tally of who's winning. I didn't know we were keeping score.
Oh.
But we do have a score master general, and I can tell you that Graham is in the lead with 4 correct guesses so Ooh, far. Wow. And in his meadow, in the lead, Robbie Earle with 3 correct guesses, Shirley Temple, myself, Arlo, Musto, and Kyle, all with 2 correct guesses. Okay, on to the next one. Just a few more to go. I accidentally killed a goose with a golf ball. Robbie Earle, who is that?
So the golfers amongst us would be Musto, Dixon, and Martino. Dixon's too good. Musto
doesn't hit it hard enough.
Yeah, not enough power. It's got Kmart, Martino, disaster written all over it. And then somehow he would have nursed the goose back to rehabilitation and some life, somehow.
That's a brilliant, that is brilliant. And I'm actually with you on that. Dicko, who do you think it is?
Well, I think you're right to pick the golfers out. Graham plays a little bit, but I've played with him and there's no way he could hit a goose, even if he was trying. So, Arlo doesn't play golf. Musty. I'm leaning towards Kyle because he's wild. Not only with the where the ball goes, but his swing, he looks like an octopus and a drunk octopus swinging a golf ball. very good, actually, compared to what his swing looks like. So I'm somehow, I think Robbie Earle's right. I think Kyle Martino would have killed. Well, did he kill the goose or just hit the goose?
Killed the goose. Killed.
Killed it. Yeah, definitely Kyle.
Graham, who do you think is the goose killer?
Did it specifically say with a golf ball?
Once accidentally killed a goose with a golf ball.
Ah, okay.
Didn't say he's playing golf.
I just wondered whether it was in the golf buggy, because then you're back in the frame because you're probably late because you're, you know, for some reason, even though you're never late. I think I'm going to go safe. I think I'm going to go Kyle as well, because I think Lee's a fantastic golfer, plays off 2 or something. So if he was to hit a goose, it would have been on purpose. And he also is very, he's a very proud animal rights activist, Lee. So he wouldn't intentionally hit a goose and kill it in order to get a better second shot. I think Robbie has sort of people walking in front of him to move geese and obstacles out the way before he takes this shot. And therefore, I'm going to go Kyle as well. He was probably on some course he shouldn't have been on, having a hack around. And unfortunately for the goose, it was the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay. Arlo?
Well, of the golfers, I mean, the obvious are the 3 that Robbie Earle mentioned. I think that day, Musto was practicing his clean and jerk, so he wasn't there at the scene. I think Dixon, we haven't ascertained whether the goose was in the rough or in the middle of the fairway. It could have been right in the middle of the fairway, 350 yards away. You know, it could quite feasibly have been Dicko with one of his drives. equally, Kyle, I mean, I've never played golf with you, Kyle. Dixon's suggesting you're somewhat erratic off the tee, so it could easily have been you. But I'm thinking outside the box again, because I think that probably Earl has picked up the bat at some point. I know Graham is a tennis player, so unless a goose lands on centre court at Wimbledon, where he's a member, which he doesn't like to talk about, I think that Robbie and Earl, early days, maybe Crazy Gang, maybe it's a golf day, you know, a testimonial, something like that. He's picked up the bat. He's absolutely smashed one down the middle of the fairway at Wimbledon Golf Club, where I played as well. And I think he's taken a poor, unfortunate goose out. So I'm saying Earl.
Brilliant. Musty, have I come to you yet? No,
it's a good shout, that, of Earl, because I know he wants to get better and wants to play a little bit. But I think it is going to be Carl as well. Played with him many times on the golf course. Goose, water, often puts his ball in lakes and rivers and stuff when I play golf with him. He can't keep it straight. But often hits low shots as well off the bottom of the club because he just lifts his head up at the last moment. I'm saying Carl Martino.
Okay, yeah. Mark, you haven't told us yet who you think it is, have you?
No.
Okay, who is it?
I think I like the shot of the non-golfer, but I actually think it's Musto, because I question the accidental part. I think Musto can convince himself something's an accident. He's got a bit of red mist about him. In the studio, one day I kicked a bottle and it hit him in the side of the face and he literally almost killed me. And so I've seen his homicidal tendencies, and I think he blacks out and he could just, you know, playing with Kaz and she's playing too slow or something, and he just hammers a ball and it catches a goose.
Okay, Mark, I think it's you, because I mean, the very fact that you kick water bottles in the studio at people's heads, and the fact that you fall off ladders, and the fact that you get run over and land on your feet, I mean, you just pass on your accident prone to everyone and every poor animal that's near you. And I also think I have a recollection of you might mentioning a goose death that is on your hands. So, who on this podcast killed a goose with a golf ball? Martino, I think the fact that you're crying into your hands tells us that it's Kyle Martino.
It's hard to talk about this. I was playing one day. I'm not very good, but every now and then I can absolutely hammer a ball. But you never know when it's going to come. Couldn't hit a ball off the ground all day long. Maybe had one, maybe two drinks. I don't know. But I was just trying to find my swing. Couldn't find it. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, absolutely hammer a three wood. The best I could possibly hit it. Beautiful, high, baby draw. And this goose comes right past the fairway right at that moment, about 30 yards high. And it hits this goose right in the torso. The goose, there's an evacuation event in the air that happens. And the goose just kind of, like, you can't see my hand as you're listening to this podcast, but essentially is trying to find an emergency landing. Lands in a lake in a way that doesn't look promising. We watch it for a second and we're all speechless, and then it kind of just, like a boat that wasn't made properly, just kind of floats onto its side. No one says anything. I left the course and I drove home and felt incredibly bad about it. Yeah.
Oh, Kyle.
I almost quit the game that day.
We are up to, I think, four crimes so far on the podcast.
All righty, two more to go.
What was it doing there? Why was it?
It was just minding his own business.
I mean, how dare it fly? Okay, once on a cab ride to London, had a cab driver suffer a heart attack, so I put the cab driver in the back seat and drove him to the nearest hospital. He survived, but he needed heart surgery.
Well, just as you tell the story, like, who is the most caring person on this, on our screen here? Loves everybody. It's got to be Robbie Earl. I'm sure he's the man. Get him in the back seat. Saves his life. Earl's a ledge. It's got to be Robbie Earl.
It's a great shout. It's a great, great shout. Kmart, who is it?
I think that's an excellent shout for not only that reason, but also Robbie Zero would be the type of person not to tell you an amazing story like that. But I mean, the amount that Arlo is agreeing with everyone is remarkable. I've never seen someone in such agreement of something they haven't even heard out of someone's mouth yet.
Yeah.
So simply for that reason, I'm switching to Arlo White.
So who do you think could lift a cab driver out of his cab, having had a heart attack, put him in the back seat and drive him to hospital?
I'd like to say all of us. But that's not true. Robbie seems like a good Samaritan. I mean, we've just heard Kyle, you know, goes out of his way to kill animals, so it might not be him. He might have just stolen the cab if it was him. Lee spent a lot of time in London. I'm gonna go Lee Dixon. I think he's got that about him. I think he's the sort of person that would, well, only if he was a Tottenham fan, probably not, but anything other than a Tottenham fan, he would have definitely done the right thing and taken him to hospital.
Arlo, who do you think it was?
Well, I know we had an incident recently on a recent visit for you guys where something similar happened and somebody else, a part of the NBC team, had to drive a car to London. So there is a precedent there. I'm erring towards Robbie Earle. Yes, I think everybody on this call would do the same thing if they had to. I think Earl, he's driving towards London, he's getting their cab, maybe from the Potteries, maybe from Stoke, maybe he's been home to see mum and dad, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, maybe a night out somewhere, and you definitely don't hear about those with Robbie Earl. What goes on the night out stays on the night out. I think he probably got the taxi driver there, he's had open heart surgery, and then come around, and there's Robbie at the end of the bed. The guy's had it explained to him, and he said to Robbie, listen, mate, you've saved my life, thanks very much, but just one thing, could you not have driven a little bit quicker to the hospital? I think it's Robbie Earle again.
All right, Elster, who do you think it is?
Going on location base, I'm between Lee Dixon and Graham Lasso, although I'm not ruling out Rebecca Lowe for some reason. It feels like there could be a...
He has saved a life before. We'll tell that story real quick after this.
Yeah. it's between Rebecca Lowe and Lee Dixon. I'm just going to go Lee Dixon, I think, on this one, Bex. I just think Lee's got a caring side to him. I've seen it once or twice. Every time he used to kick me, he'd pat me on the head as he went past. So.
All right, you're going for Dicker. Dicker, who are you going for?
Well, I was leaning towards Robbie Earle for all the reasons the lad said, but then I just, out the corner of my eye, saw Graham Lasso down the bottom, and I was thinking, did the bloke have a heart attack, or was Graham telling him a story, and he just... That could be a possibility. But then
he would have got out. He would have literally got out of the cab whilst he was driving.
He wouldn't have survived if that was the case.
But if he's taken his chances on the motorway.
Graham has got a caring side, but if it means him going out of his way so he doesn't get back to Guildford till 12 o'clock, it's not happening. So I'm going to go Robbie Earle.
Okay, and I'm also going to go Robbie Earle because, like Musty said, Kyle, that he is the absolute person who you would never know would do something like that. It would never tell you. So, and I can just imagine Robbie Earle just like lifting him like he weighed a feather and just popping him in the back seat and just on his little driving into the little hospital. And Robbie Earle probably had something really important to do that day, and that just fell by the wayside because he saved this chap's life. Okay, so
I could see the family turning around to thank him, and he's gone.
Like a hero in the night. Like a superhero in the night. Okay, who then was in a cab and had to drive in the back because he had a heart attack and had to drive him to the nearest hospital? Who was that?
That would be me.
Oh! That is so disappointing.
I know. Well, he was disappointed because he said, "Well, couldn't you have asked Lee Dixon to do it?" No, so I'd left my car at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge and gone up into London for a meeting. Got a cab back to Stamford Bridge, and this lovely cab driver driving me back, and we just got to the top of Fulham Road, stopped at a set of traffic lights. Started to pull away from the traffic lights, And all of a sudden, the car crawled, veered to the left, hit the curb, hit a bin, and then came to a standstill. And as it was happening, I said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" As this guy was looking like he was checking his mobile phone down in the sort of the center bit of his car. And then he was just hunched over. And the doors on the London cabs don't open until someone puts their foot on the brake. So I couldn't get out the cab initially. And then eventually sort of came round a little bit, must have been a minute. I got out, got him to the side of the road, head between his legs. And he said to me, "What happened?" And I said, "Well, I was hoping you could tell me." And I said, I think you've had a heart attack. I've got a friend who's a paediatric specialist at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital, just down from Stamford Bridge. And I said, "Look," he said, "Oh, I'll drive home. I said, "I can't let you drive home, because if this happens again, you could kill yourself, you could kill other people. So I'm telling you, you've got to get in the back of the cab." Put him in the back of the cab, phoned my friend. They were waiting for me at A&E, took him in. Obviously, the last thing I did before I left was make sure I didn't have to pay the cab fare. There's no way Graham Lasso is paying a cab fare when he hasn't had the full service from the driver.
I'm surprised you didn't run the cab all night just to get a little extra scratch.
But I had this vision of drive as I was driving down the Fulham Road, you know, where all the Chelsea sort of fans are based. I just had this vision of these potential Chelsea fans looking at me going past, thinking, "Is that Graham Lasso, cab driver now?" I went back a week later because I hadn't heard anything, and went up and he was on the ward. His wife was with him, and before I'd even said hello to her, she spotted me coming in and came running over and gave me a big hug. And he basically said, "You know, you helped save my life, because I wouldn't have had the surgery I needed if you hadn't taken me to the hospital." So it was a stroke of fortune. And there you go. That's it.
Right on,
Graham. So GLS, real quick. Rebecca has also saved someone's life. It's a very, very similar story. She was at like a museum or something.
Yeah.
And someone fell over and was either having a heart attack, something very serious. And someone said, "You know, someone's got to do something. Is there a doctor or something?" And Bex called 911. And that's it.
Excuse me.
She came in, was like, "Listen, I saved this person's life. I jumped into action." I was like,
"No, nobody else was calling 911. I phoned them. I spoke to the man on 911, which I've never done in my life. It's very scary. I directed them in, and he was asking me things about the gentleman."
I was like, "What was someone else doing while you were doing that with the person?" Well,
they were with him. They were with him. I was just a little further back.
Performing life saving.
Shut up.
Okay. Back.
We've got one more to go. Sorry, I can't get through all of these, everybody, but obviously there was however many of us times three. We've only got about an hour, so we're going to do the last one, which is, "I am the best footballer on the podcast." Robbie L, who do you think that is?
"I am the best footballer on the podcast."
It's only one of two, isn't it, who said that?
ex-professional footballers for me. So I'm between Arlo White and Becky Lowe. My sense is I'm steered towards our friend who supports Leicester City, who I saw somewhere on, I think it was Instagram or Twitter or something, wrote, "I had the choice to be a commentator or a footballer, and I went the commentator route." You may well mean there was an avenue down the football route as well. Well, with him. I'm going to go for Mr. Arlo White.
Okay, Lee, who do you think it is?
Robbie Musto, 1,000%.
I mean, it might be true, Dicko, but I would never say that.
All day long. All those words have come out of his mouth, and he wrote them on an email. And
Dicko said me on every single story, by the way.
Yeah.
Graham Lasso, who do you think it is?
Well, I can't imagine it being an actual footballer that would say that. So I think it's going to be... Yeah, you're all pointing in certain directions, but we've all got different screens up. So I've just had three people point at a blank screen, two at Rebecca, and I'm going Arlo White.
Graham, who do you think it is? You're going Arlo White, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry for my internet connection.
It's that terrible Meadow Wi-Fi again. Arlo, who do you think it is?
Graham got his Wi-Fi modem presented to him after Blackburn won the title in 1995, and he's so excited he's not upgraded it since. That's why we're having these issues. This is a tough one, because just to clarify, Elster, the comments that I made, I didn't portray it as having a choice between the two.
Ah.
I actually said that I wanted to be a broadcaster more than a footballer, and thank goodness.
I apologise for that.
Yeah, I was never, ever, ever going to make it. It's the type of thing that Musto would say.
I would not say that.
I'm not saying you did say it, but it is the type of thing you might say, whether it's only me. Dixon probably believes it and wouldn't it, I've done Robbie Earl twice in a row and he's not been the answer to a question, but he's too humble to say something like that. Just too humble to say something like that. Or is he? Oh God, Kyle, if we break this down, footballer, that means not a player that just goes around kicking people like most of the lads on this call. A player who has guile, skill, panache, bit of personality on the ball. So, but also quite humble. But it can't be Earl. It can't be Graham. Kyle, I'm going to say you.
I'm sorry, I'm changing my mind. Arlo's made far too much of this. I'm going for Arlo now.
All right,
Musty,
who
are
you going for?
Well, footballer. I think Arlo's right there. I think they're on my screen. They're the bottom and top corner there. Kyle Martino or Graham Rousseau both think themselves as brilliant footballers. I know they do. Kyle's skill and his tricks and all that. I know his confidence and his ability. Graham Rousseau, I think he knows that he was decent going forward. Maybe a bit, you know, all these assists that he talks about at Blackburn Rovers, some of these crosses that found target, you know, have to have decent strikers to score to get the assist. But one of those two guys that Iku could have said it. I mean, it's never going to be any Lee or me or Earl, though that's debatable whether with the facts and stuff. But I'm going to say Kyle Martino.
All right, Kmart, who is it?
Well, listen. Graham and I are clearly the most skillful players in the group. We would never boast about that. We just, you know, we let our bravado and our flair and our ability on the ball just speak for itself. There is only one of us that has a friggin' jersey hanging behind us, right? That person was a very good footballer, very dependable. Would kick the out of people, couldn't. And you want to know what? I think he handicaps himself because he's colorblind. He wouldn't even know who his teammates were or who the option was. So the fact that he could connect a pass during his professional career, not knowing who was on his team or not, maybe he does believe that he's the best footballer in the group. So Robbie Musto, yeah.
I'm doing the Musty as well. The man who tells us he's got amazing eyebrows, he's the best at maths, he's an amazing weightlifter. Amazing paper aeroplane creator. All of those things above. I'm going.
It's incredible. This is incredible.
So,
it's incredible.
Who is the best footballer on the podcast? It's me.
Oh God.
Hamstrings.
Exactly.
I was a very, very quick right winger. In my day, which lasted about 2 months at a boarding school in America, scored one goal with my hand. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was our interesting things you didn't know about the Premier League team on NBC. How much fun was that?
We have no way of disproving that last answer. No evidence to disprove it.
Thank you, Arlo.
I feel so bad for Musto.
I've got so many more. I'm on your list further down. I've got so many more.
You guys, there's so many more. That's why I did that one, because I was just going to be watching everyone scrum.
Oh my God, that made us all so uncomfortable.
So good. Okay, we've got the final scores are in. The winner, of the interesting facts about the Premier League on NBC team? Graham Lasso, five correct answers.
Wow.
After that, Robbie Earl, who I don't even think we had one of Robbie Earl's, but he got four right. I got three, Lee got three, Musto got three, and Arlo and Kyle bringing up the rear with two correct answers.
Can you email us Earls, just so we can
look? I have no idea what they are.
Let's hear one of Earls.
I'm just going to read through the ones very quickly that we didn't do. Don't tell me who they're from, but these are they. Played Joseph in the middle school production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
That's Graham.
Once bid in a silent auction with a friend to join a training session with the England team. Legendary Republic of Ireland manager Jack Charlton contacted my club to see if I had any Irish relatives or if I was born outside the UK to allow me to play for the Republic of Ireland. Once had a pet budgie called Gazza. At the age of 13, was playing at football outside my house when I accidentally kicked the ball onto a flat roof above the garage. Had to climb up on a wall to get onto the roof, and after getting the ball, I fell off the roof, hitting my leg onto blocks, and ended up having 50 stitches in my shin. Kyle. Has a day named after him or her in his hometown. Graham.
Kyle.
I would have said Ireland. I would have said home island.
Once drove a car 6,000 miles from Perth, Australia via Ayers Rock to Sydney. Arlo. My grandfather was knighted by the Queen in 1962, having been one of the last out of Dunkirk in 1940, saving 800 men.
Wow. Wasn't me.
Refused to sub into a game against Liverpool. Who was that?
Colourblind issues.
Colourblind issues.
That Carlsberg green shirt, too close to red.
Amazing, and that's brilliant. And once sat on an FA panel that fined Jose Mourinho a week's salary. Love it. Brilliant.
You know the auction prize for England? That was me and a mate when Sven-Göran Eriksson was the England manager and wouldn't pick me. So me and my friend put together $5,000 for me to go and join England for a training session for a charity.
That's brilliant.
Oh, God.
And then a guy came up to us and said, look, I'm trying to bid for this auction prize for my two sons. So will you just leave me alone and I'll go to $7,000? So he did. So he raised a load of money for charity in the end.
Love it. Guys, that's been so much fun. I hope everyone at home has enjoyed watching it, listening to it. I think we all needed a laugh, didn't we, today? Sending everybody love and best wishes and healthy vibes out there in the UK and in the United States as well. All of you, it's lovely to see you. This has been the Premier League on NBC podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. It's also available on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. Until next week, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.